This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if Chuck Barkley can say it on TV, I can say it on the radio, right? Isn't that how the rules work? Mario! Oh! He's an 80s surfer kid now!
I told you he was hiding the video on
Mario!
Purpose.
Mario!
Dude. And then there was one. I'm alone again.
I know.
I'm alone again. It's all right.
For those of you not watching the stream, which is, you're missing out, Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. The lovely Mario Heron, a.k.a. hating ass Mario, today, a.k.a. Lonzo's going to be hating ass on Mario. Mario is locked off the luscious locks of love.
Bill and Ted.
Oh.
Bill and Ted.
Oh.
Look.
That's not.
Look, he looks like a young Alex Winter. I don't know if he knows who that is. Have you ever watched Bill and Ted?
I have no idea.
You've never watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. There's Keanu Reeves and the guy who plays next to him. It's Bill and Ted. Yeah, that's I consider it a compliment. You don't see it?
No. Oh, don't you worry. I'm pulling it up on the stream right now.
Can you put your arms up like this and say "be excellent" to each other?
I don't know about that one. I've gotten a lot of comparisons lately. So there's Josh Giddey. I got, which that one hurt.
Yep, it should.
There it is.
No chance,
there it is.
No chance, dude. No chance.
I like that he said, dude.
Which works out
no
perfect.
Way.
That also works. You're talking just like him now.
Oh, man.
No
and the
way. Co-
the comments on the stream are like, yep, nailed it. That's spectacular. Mario, just one question.
Yeah, you're not one of us anymore. That means you're fair game. I'm sorry.
Quick question. Why?
So, I had a wedding, and at the wedding, it was a big thing. Like people were like, oh, why didn't you cut your hair? And I was like, I just didn't want to. And then I just had like a realization. I was like, maybe it's time to just change it up. I'm 26 now.
God, he's falling apart, Lonzo. He's 26 years old.
Well, he's also like, in maybe, a new area. You know, I mean,
yeah. And I've had long hair for a long time, and I was like, let's just change it up and let's see what happens. That was my whole thing. Like, let's see what happens. Ooh. I did a lot of research on the hairstylist. I did a lot of research on what to do with it. I texted probably up to like 25 people to get their respective thoughts. And then I went ahead and did it yesterday.
Can we talk, Lonzo, about the one Jerry curl
the
coming
curl,
down
the
in the curls, front?
Yeah.
Was that a choice, Mario?
Superman, Justin Timberlake type thing. Yeah, for sure.
You're going 1980s Christopher Reeves on us on purpose?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to be completely honest with you guys.
Uh-oh.
If you think I know how to style my hair yet, you got another thing coming. I have no idea what I'm doing. I told the lady when she was doing it yesterday. First off, I apologized multiple times because every time she would cut, I go, wow, that's a lot. And I was just like, you know, I was like freaking out a little bit. But I told her, like, hey, I don't know how to style my hair. Like, I really don't. That's why I kept it long so I could, like, put it up if it looks bad. So, like, I'm going to have to go note by note on what you're doing here. And I wrote note by note. And then this morning I was just like – and she told me, she says, it doesn't matter what you do. Just put this gel in it and just slick it back and it's going to fall into place and you'll be fine. So I did that this morning And I had no idea that I was going to look like Christopher Reeves from Superman right now. But I guess you got to eat. You got to eat, you know, roll with the punches.
I just got to say your hair is excellent.
Dude.
Thank you.
Dude.
Have you been to the Circle K lately?
I don't understand these references.
Yeah, we know.
There's definitely something afoot right there. So, I mean, you know, how do you feel about fungus?
Okay, but it doesn't look bad, though, right?
Oh, no, it looks good. It looks good. And here's the thing, as far as long hair goes, you can always go back to it. You know what your look is that way. So if you feel like you don't like this, you just let it grow back out. I get it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait a minute. James came up with an absolute killer one. Wait.
Oh, he won't get this reference either. God,
I know he won't. But we do, and we will, and that's all I care about. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest American hero.
God, that hurts.
Oh, it's so good. All right, we can't listen. I could spend nine more minutes blasting out Ellen DeGeneres of sports talk radio over here.
Don't do that. Come on.
Ellen hurt.
That was too far.
That one cut.
Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario of the BetQL Network. He is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this station and find Odyssey stations everywhere every weekday night from 7 till 11 p.m. right after Wire to Wire here on the Fan Upstate. Let's jump in, and I'm actually going to start not in the NFL, Hatin' Ass Mario. I'm going to start over in the NBA, and there's two things I want to talk about. Number one, do you care about / enjoy the NBA Cup? And if so, what do you think it meant to the Milwaukee Bucks?
So I would first like to say, I think it's kind of unfair how hard it's gotten, like, killed, I guess, the past couple of weeks. Like, do you remember this time last year when we had the in-season tournament? We wouldn't call the cup yet. We praised it. Everyone loved it. Everyone loved the courts.
I don't know.
Everyone loved that the Pacers and Bucks. Okay, you get what I mean. But it was praised more. It was, because you had a rivalry born between the Bucks and the Pacers. The Pacers seemed like this was a team that was, you know, on the cusp of something great to go to the Eastern Conference Finals later in the season. And it felt like it was connected, right? And then this year, we tear it apart. And I think a little bit that has to do with it is, this is also the first year of the college football 12-team playoffs. And this is I would argue one of those random times in the sport where, like, it is truly anyone's game. Like, if you talk about the college football playoff, you can make an argument for most every team in there that they can win the championship, right? No one really knows who's going to win it. Like, there's no team that stands above all. There's no undefeated team. We don't know who's going to, you know, take home the trophy. That doesn't help the NBA. It doesn't help that you're, you know, guy that should be – that people touted for MVP – literally is out for 1 week this week because he has a sinus fracture. And that's true, ladies and gentlemen. He has a sinus infection, and he can't play. Just going to leave it at that.
Sir, somebody said a sinus infection before. It is debilitating. You can make fun of it all you want. All you're telling me is you haven't had one before because they wreck you.
I've had it. I still played my lacrosse game. That's all I'm going to say. And it was really, really cold.
You can't hear my stare on the radio.
No, listen, Lonzo's giving me the death eyes right now.
Come on, dude.
I don't know what to tell you. There's a little difference between sitting in the chair and talking about football and showing up to an NBA game, pal.
I play football in Ohio. I always had a sinus infection.
Good point. If you were up in the Midwest, you had a sinus infection 24 hours a day during the winter.
That is how hours
you just
work.
Rolled with it.
Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. All right, second question about the NBA. How much are you making out of this NBA ratings story that's going around? Like, on one hand, you had it from Clay Travis, a sports talker who notably dislikes the NBA and makes no secret about that. On the other hand, the numbers are the numbers and the ratings are down without a doubt. I have said, Mario, I think there's two reasons for it. Number one, I don't think the NBA is doing a good enough job of balancing promotion between stars and teams. Number two, I think the lack of player loyalty to teams makes it real hard for fans to stay loyal to a team. The second big reason I chalk it up to, and even Adam Silver has talked about this, is I got games where teams are combining for 53-point efforts plus. I got teams, I got a game the other day where the teams knocked down 48 three-pointers, which means they had to take about 90 to get to that number. Man, when the game is devolved into dribbling around and then somebody puts up a timeline shot, like, it's kind of difficult to say I'm excited about it. Do you make anything out of this story? And if so, does the NBA need to be working on a fix?
Something does have to change. The three-pointers, I completely get it. It doesn't help that the best team in the NBA and the Boston Celtics love to shoot them, right? Like, if you watch the Boston Celtics, they will live and die by the three, and they have no problem doing it. So that doesn't help, and you kind of try to copy, you know, the team that's up top. You know, you see that in every single sport. So that's it's a fix, but it's a hard one to do, and it's a hard one to adjust to. I think the other thing, a part of this too, Rob, and we've seen dips all the time in NBA ratings, and I think a part of it is when the best player in the league is very hard to market, it's very hard to be successful. LeBron's not the best player in the league anymore. Steph Curry's not the best player in the league anymore. Those are two very easy, you know, easable, markable guys. Nikola Jokic is the best player in the world. And love Jokic, but not really like an outgoing personality. Doesn't love being in the media. Would really prefer if you left him alone. And that's hard to market. That's hard to sell. That's hard to sell to people to get you to come there. He's not going to, you know, is he funny? Yeah, he is. But he's not going to be funny when there's a room full of reporters around him. He's not going to do that. He's going to be funny when it's just you and him in a room. You know, that's kind of hard to do. There, when the dip happened, you know, way back in the day, before Bird and Magic came, I remember watching this documentary, and the thing that they talk about in depth is, like, the problem was Kareem was the best player in the league, and Kareem was very hard to market for. He didn't like talking to the media. When he did, he was kind of, you know, mean to him. He had takes, you know, outside of that stuff, but he kept to himself. And when your best player in the world keeps to himself, how do you build a brand? Hard to do. On top of this, I think, Rob, and you can attest to it because you're a Pelicans fan, I think they really invested in the group of Ben Simmons, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and Lonzo Ball. And all four of those guys, in the simplest terms, were kind of misses in building, you know, the next generation, if you will. Zion's hurt a lot. Lonzo didn't play for 2 years. Ja Morant's had his off-court issues where it, you know, no team's going to jump at a sponsorship deal right now with Ja Morant. And the NBA is not going to, you know, put him on a poster to promote something. It's going to take a little bit. And then Ben Simmons just never got better. When you put that much money in those four guys, it's hard to. And we're also in a transition phase of finding that next generation. We'll get there. Anthony Edwards will get us there. That's, you know, that's what I've been saying, but it's a weird time.
Hey, Ness, Mario from the BetQL Network. All right, let's jump over to the NFL here for just a minute or two before we let you go. The Detroit Lions have 22 players on the injured reserve right now, and it is being talked about. It has to. Dan Campbell was on our sister station, 97.1 The Game, the other day, talking a little bit about the injury bug and saying, oh, you know, look, we got a bunch of guys over there. We got a bunch of dogs. We're going to plug and play. Next man up, yada, yada, yada. And I appreciate all of that. But at the end of the day, the next man is the next man because he ain't as good as the first man. You're not going to tell me you're dropping 22 guys. You're not telling me that I believe 7 out of your 11 opening day starters aren't playing right now. And you're somehow going to be just as good. Are the Lions screwed until they get a bunch of these guys back? Is the quest for the one seed over?
If they didn't lose to the Bills this week and played someone else, would we still be this worried, right? That's my kind of question. Because it didn't seem like it was that big of an issue. It just seemed like, oh, it's always the next man up. They're going to be fine. They're Lions. They can roll through anything. They lose to the Bills, and Bills kind of, you know, roll through them, roll through their defense. And then we suddenly all have questions. I kind of have questions about, like, that Bills defense, man. I watched that game going, God, this Bills defense really, really hurts them in, you know, certain spots. And I left more going, all right, I understand that the Lions have a lot of injuries and they just lose guys constantly. But Dan Campbell has these guys rolling. They have the best coordinators in the NFL. Very dangerous offense. And who in the NFC do you really, really trust? Do you trust the Eagles? I know Ryan Horvath, love him to death like a brother. He preaches to me about the Eagles all the time. I'm not going to buy in it. I'm not going to buy in it yet. I'm all set. I'm not going to do that. And then I look this week, Rob, and I see the Lions are -6.5 against the Chicago Bears, where half that team has given up, where Jalen Johnson is a team captain. They couldn't get him a C to put on his chest on Monday Night freaking football. Are you kidding me? Like, I bet that multiple times this week. I'm probably going to bet it again if it still doesn't move. Lions 6.5 against that sad team, a Bears secondary that's given up 30 more yards than they usually do in the last three games. That, and also in that last three games, they've given up the second most rushing yards. Whew. Okay. Thanks for the free gift, BetMGM and every sports book. I'll take the Lions 6.5. I'll run it to the bank and buy my niece a Christmas present.
Probably buy yourself some new hair product while you're at it.
Yep, I knew that was coming. As soon as I said it, I just teed it up for you, and you just hit it.
Lay up, baby. Lay up. Hey, Naz Mario from the BetQL Network here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Over on the other side in the AFC, number one, like, we all just acknowledge Josh Allen's the MVP this year, right? Like, that hunt's over?
It's not a debate. Yeah, it's not a debate. I understand the Lamar talk. Like, I understand that there's an argument for him. But, like, Josh Allen's his team. And I, by the way, how many people were saying that the Buffalo Bills were going to take a dip this year because that receiver, you know, Diggs is gone, Gabe's up. Yeah, me too.
I'll own it.
I mean, can I please delete the film on that? A lot of guys missing, and he just continues to perform and, you know, be better every single week. And he cut down the picks too. And that's all we complain about with Josh Allen. Turns over the ball too much. Too, you know, carefree with the football. That's gone now. And I hope you guys are happy because you just made him into a monster.
Hasn't proven anything yet. There's a place where he cannot win, and we'll see what happens.
In the playoffs, he can't.
Right. I wasn't talking about a specific place because he's lost to other teams other than Kansas City. And chances are, you never know, we may have to go through Baltimore to get to Kansas City.
Mario?
I would be fine with going to Baltimore against that secondary if I'm Josh Allen.
As much as people try to make it seem this way. Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. That's a team stat. Always have been, always has been, always has been, always will be.
Always will be.
Wow! Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. God knows ball. This guy knows ball over here. I hate to ask Mario. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. He is the executive.
Oh, wait, you were talking about you. I thought you were giving him a compliment.
Oh, no, I was giving Mario a compliment
there.
Okay,
why didn't you say his name?
It's Christmas time. I was nodding at him. It's Christmas time. My gift to Mario is one compliment on the radio.
Can I say a hot take about Christmas?
Oh, hell yeah.
Christmas food runs circles around Thanksgiving food.
Okay. All right. I'm not gonna jump on you yet. The traditional Christmas fare that makes you say this is what? Because if you're one of these people, it's going to be like, my mom cooks a home-cooked lasagna or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, that's obviously going to beat the hell out of a turkey.
Lasagna.
I'm not. What I'm saying is people who have that take usually have, like, my 92-year-old Italian nana who makes, like, an old country recipe that's like, yeah, nobody's ever beating that with anything. Certainly a turkey. But, like, what traditional fare are you putting up against a solid Thanksgiving spread?
You mentioned Italian, seven fishes. Okay. So hard to beat seven fishes.
Tied.
Tackle it.
Right, but, like, again, that's fine, Mario. My family is Irish. We have, like, every different spread of potato. That's not a traditional Christmas fare.
There is no traditional Christmas fare.
I think that's my take, right? Like,
because people eat turkey because they got a free turkey at Thanksgiving and they don't want it to go to waste, so they just make turkey again.
I think your take is fine.
But turkey's not good. Turkey's not that good.
Yeah, your turkey's being cooked bad. Your turkey's being cooked poorly. Come on. Listen, but next year Thanksgiving, you come on. Next Thanksgiving, you come on down to the upstate of Greenville, South Carolina. Let me make you a turkey, a Cajun fried turkey, and I will change your entire life with that turkey. I promise you right now. Here's the thing about the Christmas fare. I'm not even saying you're wrong. The thing about the Christmas fare is there is no traditional Christmas food. Every family makes their family's thing. So, of course, you're going to think that's the best. It's the same reason why if you don't go home for Christmas, you're like, oh, I miss Christmas dinner. Yeah, because it's what your thing is. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, of course, your family's go-to is going to be what you think is the best.
He's saying you're wrong. I mean, it's all in the tone. I'm not saying you're wrong, but...
Are you defending the short-haired producer?
Listen, I know I cracked up. Me and him are always on the same side.
Mm.
Yeah, that's just how that works.
So it's not a brotherhood of hair. It's just a brotherhood of not Rob.
No. Okay, can I point something out?
There is a brotherhood of not Rob.
I still have long hair.
You don't have a long hair, bud. You have welcomed yourself to a medium haircut.
All right, does it go beyond the collar?
No. I can see it.
Yeah, When I showered this morning, it was the craziest feeling I've ever felt.
Yeah, it is. It's a difficult thing. And when you use too much shampoo because you're used to having to use a bunch because you have more hair. Yeah, it's difficult.
We are going to end the interview as Mario has begun talking about his feelings in the shower. And that feels like as good a place of any to walk it off. Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hayton Ass Mario from the BetQL Network. You can hear him on BetMGM tonight every weekday from 7 to 11 on this and find Odyssey stations everywhere. Stop by and watch them tonight on twitch.tv/BetQL, and let's just pile on the haircut while he's on his own show.
Wait, have they seen it yet?
Let's do it.
Have the boys seen it yet?
Ryan, it was yesterday, and like Ryan was walking to the studio. I go, oh, what's up, buddy? Like, how are we doing? And he goes,
who the hell are you?
What's up? Yeah. And then he sat down and goes, oh, it's Mario. He goes, dude, I didn't know who that was for a second. I was like, oh, yeah. Because I forget that I have it cut. And then there's a guy at my Walgreens that always hits on me. And I walked in there and I was checking out. And, you know, he told me, he goes, you still look very good.
But not as good as you did yesterday, pal.
My mom, when I sent her it, she goes,
did she cry a little bit?
She goes, good news is his hair always grows.
Mario, big dog, listen, have a spectacular Christmas. We're off next week, so we'll catch you in the new year, brother. Thank you very much.
Love you guys. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Take care.
By the way, December 26th, I will be guest hosting BetMGM tonight with Hayton S. Mario. Getting the band back together. Hell yeah. Me and Patty B. With Hayton Ass Mario and his short haircut. See you then, pal.
Medium length.
Okay. Hayton Ass Mario. Lonzo and I hand out some Zoe Awards, our end of the year professional wrestling prizes, next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Welcome into the final Fight Club of this year, the year of our Lord, 2024. It went by so fast. Rob and I, by the way, been together 4 years now. I don't know if you knew that. Anniversary's right around this time.
Right around.
Oh, yeah. Back in the lead, baby. Woo! He's distraught now. So, yeah.
Oh, I am in trouble now.
It was about four years ago. It was 4 years ago when the trade happened. And the rest is South Carolina Broadcasters Association historical. That's all I'm saying. All right. So, as it is the end of the year, why not give out awards, which Rob is calling the Zoe's. I don't like it. I don't like it. But
don't care. You know, the Zoe's.
You know, I made it up this morning, and he already put his stamp on it.
It's not my stamp. It's your name.
Yeah.
The Zoe's.
I would rather it be the Lonzo's. But, you know, that's just me.
That's not as fun.
Yeah, well, it is for me. It absolutely is for me. All right, just some categories here. I'm guessing that we are going to have a different awards in mind. So Rob's going to hand out what he thinks it is. I'm going to hand out what I think it is. The first award, and I'm going to go first just so – because I want to, is favorite newcomer. I have a tie for favorite newcomer.
That's not how awards work.
Yeah, well, sometimes it does.
I mean, I guess they are named after you.
My name's on the award, so it's my segment. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
All right. I have two, because it was really hard for me to choose. The first one, as best newcomer in wrestling, even though these guys have been wrestling for a while, it's just they became aware to a majority of people. First one is Joe Hendry. So, and I believe in Joe Hendry, so I have to talk about Joe Hendry. By the way, number two on my Wrapped was Joe Hendry. Disappointed it wasn't number one. And he is tied with the Samoan Werewolf, Jacob Fatu.
I'm going to go with, and this is interesting because I think that my dude for like a hot minute there may have been the most over professional wrestler on planet Earth. And I have to give it to a man I believe in. I think it has to be Joe Hendry. I don't know who else I could give it to. There are plenty of other Bron Breakker, if we consider him up and coming into the main roster.
Yeah, but he was on NXT. So if follow WWE, you probably know NXT.
That's fair. Joe Hendry did not just show up on the scene. Joe Hendry took over the scene. You could not go in. Professional NFL teams were sending out Joe Hendry memes. That's how over this guy was. This guy, he crossed out of wrestling and just into pop culture. I don't know how anybody else could have possibly done what he did.
All right, so I do have a little bit of fear of Jacob Fatu, so maybe I added him in for that. But, I mean, he is a guy everyone wants to wrestle. Joe Hendry was out there and on, you're right, transcended wrestling, was all over the place. But Jacob Fatu, dream bookers all over the place. Oh, think if he wrestled this guy. Think if he wrestled this guy. You didn't get that with Joe Hendry. You did get that with Jacob Fatu. The next one is favorite match. It's hard to narrow down for you probably, Rob, but what is your favorite match?
I'm going to tell you right now, and this is one of those times where sometimes the world works in mysterious ways. My favorite match happened last night. My favorite match of the year happened last night. We had some slappers, some bangers. I think, obviously, the WrestleMania main event between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns provided us probably 10 of the most electrifying minutes of wrestling we have ever seen. But you had a bunch of gimmicks in there. You had the gimmicks of The Undertaker and the gimmicks of the final boss of The Rock and all that. And that's all fine. That's part of wrestling. What Will Ospreay and Darby, friend of the show, Allen, did last night on AEW was one of the absolute most bat bleep matches I have ever watched in my life. And it ranged everything. It was technical. It was explosive. There was flippies and straight fist. Last night's match between Darby Allen and Will Ospreay may, and I mean this, may be in my top five matches of all time.
All right. So the thing about saying favorite match, it's subjective. I mean, when you look at wrestling, are you more into the wrestling? Are you more into the story? Do you need a combination of both? And you have poo-pooed and you've downplayed what my number one is, but that's fine. It's Cody taking down the Bloodline finally. It's a culmination of a story that started a couple years before. And it's not just that. It also came full circle with The Shield. The fact that they were able to work that in. I mean, there are so many storylines that came in there, and the fact that The Undertaker just had knee surgeries and still made it, he was the biggest surprise of the whole thing. And I don't think you can talk about 2024 without talking about the end of the OG Bloodline.
Oh, I agree entirely. For the record, I'm not poo-pooing that match. I when I say it was gimmicky, gimmicky is great. It's wrestling. It's supposed to be gimmicky. But to me, my value, and it is subjective, you are not wrong for feeling how you feel, just like I'm not for feeling how I feel. I'm not going to bust you up for going with that match. In fact, I would say it's easily inside of my top three or four. But when I want to watch wrestling, I want to watch two guys tell a story or two gals tell a story in the ring that makes me consistently sitting on the edge of my seat like, what is this crazy son of a you-know-what going to do next? And last night, we got every bit of that.
All right, the next one, usually the best award you save for last, but I'm just going to go ahead for the sake of going in order and talk about what is the most coveted going forward, for sure, the most coveted award here on what Rob is dubbing the Zoe Awards on the Rob Brown Show. It is biggest Rob Brown Show rub. All right. It exists. All right. You come on the Rob Brown Show and you can exceed your expectations and go to heights that never before had you seen. You know, you didn't realize that the top of that mountain was actually in the clouds. You thought you saw the top of the mountain. You didn't until you came on the Rob Brown Show and got that rub.
The rub is real. To me, there are two candidates for the award. There's two. Now, the interesting thing is both of them were already champs when they came on the show. However, both of them, after they got the Rob Brown Show rub, went on to do something historic with their championship. The only two guys, really, the only two wrestlers who I think can be considered for this are either Gunther or Damian Priest. And I think it's got to be Gunther. Gunther did not just carry the Intercontinental belt, which he already had when he came in, but he came in as the champ. He left this show and he went on to become the longest reigning and arguably most dominant Intercontinental champion of all time. What Damian did with the belt was spectacular, and it was fun, and it was engaging and entertaining, and he switched from being one of the biggest heels in WWE to one of the most over babyfaces. But Gunther etched his name in the history books of pro wrestling, and that momentum started after he was right here on the Rob Brown Show. The answer, Lonzo, and this is one where if you disagree, I will say you wrong, is Gunther.
Well, I don't disagree. I mean, because, as you said, already a champion when he walked in this room. When he walked out,
he became the champion.
The champion, exactly. And he's only getting better. I mean, you would think, is that possible for him? Yeah, he is. He's only getting better. And he's another one of those guys where he could feud with anybody and come out on top. Gunther, definitely biggest Rob Brown Show rub. All right, here's one. Of course, we're going to disagree on. We already know who Rob's pick is going to be, and that's fine. My pick might be surprising. Best women's wrestler of 2024.
This one is actually tougher than you think it is for me, because...
Should I go first? Because you went first last time.
I mean, mine's a granted. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Mine, and I think this will shock Rob Brown, mine is Toni Storm. And here's the reason. And I've already pointed out that storyline means a lot to me.
Sure.
And her storyline, especially her present one, would you think she couldn't top the one she did before? Her present one is excellent. Because she's forgotten, you know, according to a possible amnesia, everything that she did for this entire year. But Timeless Toni Storm was it for a long time. And you thought, now she's going to fade. Nope. She found another way to go. You know, much like some other people like Jericho for a while, able to reinvent themselves. She's reinvented herself in the same year. And I really enjoy it. And her wrestling is good, too. And I'm going with Toni Storm.
Chin up, chest out, watch out for the shoe. I have no issue with you picking Toni Storm. And I was back and forth between a couple. Rhea Ripley is obviously my winner. Mommy is dominating everything. The same reason that Gunther got the Rob Brown Show Rub Award, because he just became the guy. Rhea is her right now. You don't have to like it, but she is the biggest wrestler on planet Earth.
She was hurt most of the year,
though. She was. Yeah. And when she came back, she has been the most visible wrestler, I would argue, maybe of any wrestler at all, men's or women's. Now, you can say it's for whatever reason you want. But here's the thing. Rhea's not out there spreading the word on OnlyFans. Not that I'm judging women's wrestlers who do. I don't care. It's your life. Live it how you want to live it. She's just being mommy. And it works. I think Toni Storm deserves a nod. Honestly, I think Sol Ruka deserves a nod for what she's doing in NXT right now. I think there's a bunch of women that could go on this list. But the answer is mommy.
All right. Moving along. The next... category is best men's wrestler. And we're probably going to agree on this. Who do you think is the best men's wrestler of 2024?
It's Will Ospreay.
Without a doubt.
It's Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
It's not a
day. He's the best wrestler on the planet right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's the best wrestler. And I'm talking about in every aspect of wrestling. He's a fantastic promo. He's a great storyteller. And he can bleeping go. In fact, when I was looking at potential match of the year candidates, Ospreay was in like four of them. Darby Allin last night, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, pardon me, the match that they did earlier in the year. I think he had one with Okada earlier that was an absolute slap fest. Ospreay was in like three or four matches that could have been considered match of the year. Nobody else was. Will Ospreay is the best wrestler on the planet.
All right, we got three more categories. The next one, all three probably will be shockers coming from me. Best tag team. There are a lot of tag teams out there, and everyone's going to, no one's going to agree with me on this. My best tag team of 2024, watch the shocked look on Rob's face.
Can I guess, and if I'm right?
Yeah, you can guess.
Fraxium.
Nope.
Okay.
Hank and Tank. Listen, the story behind Hank being a security guard and then suddenly getting a chance to be a wrestler and all that stuff, the energy they bring, the excitement, this is what I felt like when I was a kid watching wrestling. I just love them. And, of course, you're very disappointed in my pick.
No, I'm not. I don't agree with it.
Fine. It's not. You get to pick yours. I'm picking mine, and mine is Hank and Tank.
Again, like it's one of those that
I love Hank and Tank.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just going to... Now, I will say this. Do we agree that 2024 was not a particularly great year for tag team wrestling?
Right, it's hard to pick a tag team.
Yeah, I've been kicking back and forth around about where to go, and it ended up in a spot where I think I've kind of had to go a little bit off the reservation with my pick, but I'm going to give you a couple of guys that I think were a little bit of everything that I'm looking for. A town down. Give me Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I think they were funny. They had these comedy moments, like when both of them got punched in the face at the same time by Kevin Owens, which was this hilarious moment. But they also carried the belts for a long time and carried them exceptionally well, in my opinion. They put on slapper matches, and both of these guys are damn good wrestlers that work their chemistry of still doing what they do, doing it together. I'm going to go Waller and Theory.
Okay.
That's also my wild card pick.
Also a big, really hard to pick the tag team.
I'd go Truth and Miz, but I can't give Miz anything. Jerk.
All right. So two more. All right. The best faction. And I'm going to go first here and surprise everybody again. But remember my criteria, you got to be a good wrestler. I don't think you make it to these levels without being a pretty good wrestler, unless you're really, really good on the mic and people will excuse your lack of wrestling. My best faction is Final Judgment.
Ooh. Ooh.
See, again, I love what Karrion Kross is doing. I love technically kind of a change of character. I love the new hairstyle. I just love what they're doing. I love what they're doing to Miz. I think they're very underneath. It'd be easy to go with the White Six because that was spectacular. But underneath everything the Judgment Day is doing, not only on the air, but on social media, I really like Final Judgment. I know I said Judgment Day. I was stupid. But it's Final Judgment.
I'm going to flip it over. I'm going to give a little love to AEW. Best Friends.
The Land.
I know they broke up.
Dude.
I know they broke up. But before they broke up, which was in 2024, which means they were a faction in 2024. It is not best active faction. It's best
of
2024.
Or a facsimile of.
I am going Best Friends. And I'm going Best Friends, and here is why. When Judgment Day began the breakup, and they are still going through it now, we were all like, oh, okay, storyline. When Best Friends broke up, when we had maybe the probably second biggest stab in the back of the year, the only thing that has hurt us more this year than that was New Day turning their back on Big E. But here's the thing. Big E hasn't been with the New Day for a year. I don't consider them a faction. They're a tag team that had another party involved. When the Best Friends broke up, I was devastated. I'm going with the Best Friends.
Yeah, I didn't bring up the Big E thing because I don't believe New Day deserves to be talked about right now.
Well, again, like I'm not counting them as a faction because they don't deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and finally, the best finishing move of 2024. I'm going to go first. In the interest of time.
Wait, I'm
going
to write it down, and if I get it right.
Oh, you know that what I'm going to go for, because we've discussed it many times.
There's two. All right,
but we are running out of time. So
go ahead. Hang on. Go ahead. All right, go ahead.
All right. Soul Ruckus, Soul Snatcher.
There it is right there.
It's an amazing finisher. I guess maybe she's not polished enough to be on the main roster yet, but I think if a finisher can move you up, that one should.
That's the one. I agree. I agree. It's not my pick, though. Can I tell you which one has grown on me in the past couple of weeks? And the more I see it, the more I freaking love it.
As long as it's not Bailey to Bailey. Or Belly to Bailey. Mm-mm. I can't remember which one that Mm-mm. is. Love Bailey, though. Friend of the show.
Braun Breaker Super Spear. It's my favorite. It has replaced every other spear in the arsenal.
But
and
the
here's
uniqueness
why.
Of Soul Ruckus.
I agree.
Soul Snatcher.
But it is not. It is not just.
Also, degree of difficulty,
fact,
man.
Yeah, I again agree with all these things. Here's why I like Braun Breakers. When that guy gets going, and I know they're hitting it with 23 miles an hour, and they have to say it every time, which is fine because that's true. Have you seen that man hit the ropes? The ring moves. The whole ass ring slides in the direction that he hits the ropes, and everyone is able to sell that as if they have been quite literally Thanos'd in half. I don't know why. The way he hits it looks beautiful. The setup is great, and it is the most, and I mean this, I'm putting it over Goldberg, I'm putting it over Rhino, I'm putting it over Edge. It is the single best looking spear in the history of professional wrestling. I love it.
See,
genuinely love it.
I think his No Hand in Frankensteiner is better.
Also dope. Jumping up there and hitting that salute is so good. All right, there you have it. There's your Zoes. If you have any you'd like to debate or add to the mix, send them to me, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. We got a handful of texts that have come in over the past few minutes. We will get to those when we come back. It's Rob, it's Lonzo, it's you, it's the Rob Brown Show, it's the FAN Upstate. Kane in Liberty, South Carolina.
Bob, good morning, Lonzo. Glad to send this message to the Hot Rod Brown Show. Bummed out about the Lions' loss to the Bills the other day. I loved MCDC's speech yesterday, but I'm not sure if it's, you know, going to be enough to rally the ones that are left, you know. Is heart going to play more of a factor than skill at this point in time? I hope so. But anyway, I hope you get everything settled with your voice and get that fixed. And hope you guys have a great day, great rest of the week.
Appreciate you, Kane. Thank you very much. You know, it's like a muscle, man. You got to work it out a little bit. We've worked it out. We're good. Real quick, before we take it to a break, because we addressed that a little earlier in the show, you can find it on the podcast forum at thefanupstate.com. Here is Jay Bird and Duncan.
Woo! Good morning, good morning. Just wanted to say, with the first week of the college football playoffs upon us, I want to show my in-state support for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Good luck with your playoff game. Don't! I just remembered you didn't make the playoffs. Anywho, better luck next year.
That laugh is maniacal. Maniacal.
A little weird right after South Carolina beat Clemson, though.
Maniacal.
I'm just saying. All right, time to tell Rob what is X-ing in the world, and he's going to tell us why the world is X-ing about it. The first thing, I'm going to change one of the words because I don't like the word. It's perfectly acceptable to say on the air. No, I'm just not going to say the word. But I'm going to change it to something that will let you know what the word is. Unicorn flatulence dust.
Fart? Unicorn fart?
Yes.
Here's the sad part. I know exactly why it's trending. It is because Call of Duty has decided that it is going to eat in the future, and they've decided, oh, let's do what Fortnite did, but let's do it worse. And one of the things they've added to it is they have finishing moves. It used to be like your finishing move, if you got to drop one on a dude, was you would roll up and, like, you know, you would tap him on the shoulder, and when he turned around, you put a pistol to the forehead and finish him off or whatever. You know, like a fatality in Mortal Kombat used to be. Now,
so violent.
They have started to add dumb ones. Like, for instance, one of the characters that you play, if you hit one of those fatalities, calls forth a unicorn from another dimension who then farts on the other player and kills him. It's okay. Real dumb, okay. And I'm done with Call of Duty.
Okay.
I'm over it. I'm out.
All right, the next thing that's X-ing is Mariah Carey.
Ladies and gentlemen, happy Mariah Carey season. If you didn't believe that the Queen of Christmas made her emergence as she did about mid-November, it is certainly time now, and I'm assuming that this is trending. I don't know this to be a fact, because once again, All I Want for Christmas Is You is the number one song in America, as it should be.
So lame. There is no Queen of Christmas, but that's not why she is trending. She is trending because she is now in Fortnite.
You know, at least Fortnite
doing a Christmas dance.
At least Fortnite acknowledges that it is
dressed
a silly
and looking
game.
Like she did back in when she was like 20 something.
First off, if you ain't seen Mariah Carey, she's still got it.
Oh no, I completely agree. There are some people. She's fat. It's like, shut up, man.
Those people are both dumb and wrong. Mariah Carey still got it. But the thing I appreciate. Fortnite acknowledges it's a silly game and plays into it. Call of Duty is still trying to convince you, like, yeah, we're a real, for real serious game. And also, if you sneak up on a guy, you can have a unicorn fart on him. All right, whatever.
All right, the next thing is trending, or Xing rather, is Lex Luthor.
I got nothing.
Superman trailer just dropped.
Ah, that's right. You told me about that.
Yeah, about a half hour ago.
So, once again,
Dude.
Lonzo and I will head to the Fortress of Nerditude immediately following the show and dive in.
I have some problems with it already.
Really?
Yeah.
Without even listening
to
it?
No, it's a hair problem. That's it. Just a hair problem. I know I haven't listened. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Mario's ruined everything.
Yeah. And finally, the last thing that's excellent, even though I said I wasn't going to fight today, and I didn't. I didn't. Really, I didn't. The last thing that's excellent is Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers is X-ing because there is a documentary that followed around Aaron Rodgers this offseason. I don't know if this is why, but I'm guessing. And a clip dropped of Aaron Rodgers while he was high, tripping his off on ayahuasca or whatever the hell it's called. And he's like, I can't believe this is my life, man. This is awesome. This is so... It's actually hilarious. It's right. Actually really funny.
That's not why. There's a legitimate beef between him and someone at ESPN. And it's getting heated and it's getting a little ridiculous. And I'm secretly hoping it leads to WrestleMania. But that's just me.
Is it with McAfee?
No, it's with okay. Ryan, with Ryan.
Rosillo?
No. Man, I don't even have his name right. He was on with Cam Newton and wow.
All right, either way.
Here's the proof that the beef is ridiculous because you know who Aaron Rodgers is, but I can't remember who he's fighting with.
I need to know. I mean, I don't care. I'm probably going to be team whoever he's fighting
with.
Yeah,
it's Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark.
Yeah,
I'm definitely team Ryan Clark.
Yeah.
I'm definitely team Ryan Clark.
Without even knowing what he says.
Yes.
That's cultic.
Yes, because whatever he said. No. Because I know everything that Aaron Rodgers does say, and 90% of what comes out of his mouth is dumb and or
there
wrong.
There is no one that I believe what they say without hearing what they say.
No one. Ever. Wait. Get it right.
I'm not
get it
backing
right.
them.
Get it
I'm
right.
not. I'm not their guy. I'm not. I want to hear
get
the whole
right.
detail.
What I said
I
was.
Just did.
What I said was. It doesn't matter what he said if he's against Aaron Rodgers. Because if Aaron Rodgers had something to say, there's a 90% chance I think what he said was wrong about life or football. So, like naturally, I'm likely aligned
got,
with Ryan.
You got
Clark.
Him riled up, which is hilarious.
You knew what you were doing.
No, I was talking about Aaron Rodgers getting other people riled up, trolling, and everyone falling
Listen,
for it.
Listen, if the only thing,
including you,
if your entire personality is I'm a troll, I got nothing for you. Your personality is not exclusively troll.
Well, it's probably like 75%.
And that's not exclusive, is it? All right, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Y'all come back tomorrow. It is the Friday edition, and we will do it.
We're gonna Friday. That's what we're gonna do.
We're gonna Friday.
We're going to get down on Friday.
Probably. Have a great rest of your day. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
You're just a loser or a jackass. You can be A or B.